Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's the Luke and Pete Show. It is Monday, the 1st of March. Pinch punch first of the month, Luke Moore.
You haven't done that for a while, probably a month. So that's why you're out of practice.
No, exactly. Well, it's a short. I wasn't expecting to do it now, but because it was such a short month, I was expecting to do it on around about the 3rd. But I blindsided myself a little bit, and now I went pinch punch first of the month. Terrible business.
I think it's also. I'm right in saying it's bad luck to do it after midday. So.
Oh no!
You're in big trouble, Donnie.
Is it a bit like April Fool's Day?
Yeah, oh yeah. What is it with that? What is it with that and midday? What is it with people and these kind of things and midday? That's what I want to know.
I think it just gets tedious for people.
Right, I've had enough of this now. Once a month's enough, and I can't even get through a whole day of that.
Correct, correct. That's exactly right.
What's been going on then, Peter? How's your weekend been?
I saw, mate.
I saw the dog you had access to, and you were out for a walk. I think maybe yesterday.
Yeah, that's true. I was, what was I up to? I went for a stroll. We've inherited like a little park bench, which is a lot of fun. Quite simply, right. a lot of fun.
As good as it gets, is it?
Tom Fun style. And it's all rotten. So what I did was I got on my little scooter and travelled to the land of Hemel Hempstead, and I bought myself a big bit of wood. I hadn't measured it properly with a ruler or anything, so I was literally playing it by ear. Actually, not literally, that doesn't make any sense. I was figuratively playing it by ear. And fixed the bench. I was quite pleased with my work, quite frankly. I've got some...
Has anyone sat on it yet, though?
No, because I've applied oil to the unpainted parts of the bench, and therefore just to protect it from the rain, protect it from the elements, Luke Moore.
You and my dad are peas in a pod. My dad's been making benches this whole lockdown.
I know.
He loves to make a bench. He's all about that.
It's good, isn't it? Yeah, I'm enjoying it immensely. But it might be all right. It might not be all right. We'll see how we go. It very much depends on how hot it's going to get in the next couple of weeks.
I think, Pete, if this chat, as people know, this is an unplanned half an hour twice a week. We are a companion to people. We live the same lives as them and all the rest of it. But I think if your opening chat is going to be this red hot, every show, I think we should think about doing a cold open.
Well, just go straight into it.
Go straight into it, and then maybe a few minutes in, then go, it's the Luke and Pete Show. He's Pete, I'm Luke.
He's been messing about with a big old bench, quite frankly. Yeah. But look, it was a lovely weekend. This is exactly the sort of thing you're supposed to be doing. I bought a belt sander. I bought a Black & Decker Workmate. I had to put it together myself, and I could have done with a Black & Decker Workmate to put the Workmate together. It was quite busy, quite difficult for me this weekend. I'm exhausted.
Your garage must be absolutely bursting at the seams now.
Oh, look, it really
all
is.
The stuff
it's
you've
it's
got in it.
My little elliptical trainer, my little weights bench, and then all of the boxes from Amazon.
I've got a few little bits to do with people before we get into the show proper, just to bring people up to speed. So over the weekend, or it might have been earlier today, producer Nat popped a Instagram story out there trying to answer the question that we posed to each other last week, which was, who is the real sidekick to this show? Because, Pete, you are an award-winning, or at least an award-nominated sidekick from down the years. I think you come second in a top 10 once, didn't you, of radio sidekicks. As we know, I've never been nominated or won anything at all ever before. But on the question, who's the real sidekick, 103 people said that I was, and just 78 said that you were. So I'm officially the sidekick of the Luke and Pete show.
Right.
And Soup Sandwich on the Instagram commented, I came for the Pete and I stayed for access to the Luke, which is fair enough. And Vish, our friend over on Football Ramble, voted that I was the sidekick. So he obviously feels very strongly about that as well. So how do you feel now being officially the main presenter of a Luke and Pete show? And would you prefer the name to be changed to the Pete and Luke show?
Well, I mean, because that would work, Pete and Luke Shaw, as a acronym or an initialization. It's PALS. Well, it would be an acronym, wouldn't it? It would be PALS.
Yeah.
So that would kind of work. I mean, it would be inaccurate at best, but it would kind of work. I'm glad I've got Vish on my side. I'm glad I've got him well trained. But yeah, it's I'm so happy that that's me being sidekick du jour, sidekick of choice for a lot of people, has kind of translated to me being the head honcho on this.
What do you think a good sidekick? Just help me out here, because you've got experience in this, and I've had this sort of recently bestowed upon me. So what advice can you give me to become a successful sidekick to you?
Well, obviously, I made my name on a friend of the Luke and Pete show, Alex Zane's breakfast show on XFM. I'd worked with others like Lon Laverne, Paul Tonkinson, remember him?
Still Tonks, find him? What's he up
Danny
to now?
Wallace. Yeah, he's on Twitter. I saw it last time I saw him on a tube, and he was saying how much he regretted having to leave XFM, and he thought that him and Mark Haynes could have done a really great show, ignoring the fact that I was also on that show. It's a little bit rude. So I'm obviously not flavor of the month for everybody when it comes to being a sidekick. But yeah, I mean, the thing about the sidekick is you're always the underdog, aren't you? You're always, people will always gravitate to your cause, to your side, because they think it's somehow subversive. It's a very British idea, is it? Nobody wants to hang out with Ryan Seacrest. They want to hang out with, I'm trying to think who Ryan Seacrest's friend is.
I don't even know who Ryan Seacrest's friend is.
He was like the big kind of swinging Mama Jama on the on radio out there, and obviously he did Pop Idol and X Factor and stuff like that. He was obviously the guy who hosted that. So he was like one of the biggest names in the world at one point, and obviously his stars faded a little bit since then. But yeah, everyone's on the side of the sidekick, because the main host is usually quite egotistical and arrogant and stuff like that. So therefore, you're always going to gravitate to that. So then they become the main host. You know what I mean? So they're the reason why people. So that's why. I'm not saying people were listening to me back in the day for that reason. It's an easier job to be the sidekick. Obviously, it's an easier job. You don't have to do the hard stuff. You don't have to do the hard sell for anything.
Yeah, but I feel like people are subverting the whole process then, because I feel like I'm the arrogant, loud, noisy one, and you are the underdog that everyone loves. So what's going on here? We've inverted the sidekick time continuum here by making me this. I'm happy to be it. I'm very, very happy to do it. The pressure's now off me, and it's incumbent upon you to do all the furniture and all the organisation for the show.
I another thing I did over the weekend was I found this. You can see it on camera. You may as well describe. You can describe.
Okay, hang on. Let's have a look.
This is. Hang on.
He's just disappeared. Right. Here he is.
Can you see this? Oh, lordy.
It looks like a massive slinky. Oh, it's a load of CDs on a rope.
Yeah, it's a load of CDs on a big rope, and I found them in the garage in the. That's how
again.
I keep my
Always
CDs.
The garage.
That's how
they haven't got
I
any protective cases. What are you going to do with those?
They're just on a big string, and they're really heavy. And I just saw them hanging up, and I was like, you know what? That's no way to treat some of my memories. So I brought them inside, and I thought I'm going to find all the important stuff, the stuff to cherish my memories. And I thought I'll copy.
Oh, is this
what
you sent me an audio clip over the weekend of you interviewing?
Olga Kurylenko.
Olga Kurylenko. Yeah.
That was on one of the CDs, some of my old XFM work, where I literally asked Daniel Craig whether I could lick his back. Oh, did he?
No, you asked if you could sleep with him. He's only just met you, so no.
Exactly. But I did crank calls. I forgot I did crank calls on the radio. I was like a modern-day Steve Penk, I was. But most importantly, I found an old Sony... you know, like the governing body of radio awards is it used to be the Sony Awards. And it's not an award that for everybody out there that is coveted by anyone outside the world of radio. In fact, nobody knows it bloody exists. But is the biggest thing in radio, or was the biggest thing in radio. And I found like a little folder on a CD-ROM of my, like, the Sony radio entries for the Alex and Breakfast Show. And it's literally just Mark. It says Mark Haynes touches a boob. staff don't listen. And shit bags. That's all. And also, Alex pooed in Iceland. And that was the Sony radio entry for that year. So if you're a fan of Clash of the Titles or Wrestle Me, no, we didn't even chart, quite frankly. But it did remind me of a really, really good feature that we used to do. And it's on the Sony radio entry. Staff don't listen. Used to do the Breakfast Show. It was relatively popular in a very small subset of Hoxton or Shoreditch in London. And we sort of figured out that a lot of people who worked on our floor and worked for our organization, XFM, didn't listen to the show. They just didn't listen. They didn't care about it. Okay. We were never mentioned in like PR articles and stuff. It was always about someone else's show. And we realized that a lot of people on our floor didn't like us. So we would literally every hour go, right, PR, Gemma Ebelis, I think her name was, you've got to phone in within 10 minutes. Or you're in big trouble. And so we would just basically call out members of staff who weren't listening to the Breakfast Show.
How many of them would call in? None of them.
They would only call in because someone else had heard it. Like the boss had been listening to shout at us for whatever we were doing. And then he would call Gemma and go, right, ring in now because they're talking about you on the radio.
I used to work at that same company then as well. And I didn't listen.
No, exactly. Because, but these were people who worked for the company. Ridiculous.
Yeah, but the problem was, I think where I worked, we had to look after all the different stations. And so I think we had to rotate the station we listened to.
If you are head of music or head of content at XFM, you should be listening to the XFM.
Did I ever tell you the story about how one of my jobs, when I actually had the job, when I came back the second time and was actually working specifically on XFM, I worked for this little section. I can't remember what it's called now, but it was like an XFM club for like industry. So people who, it would be like advertisers who bought adverts on XFM or who had been a friend of the station in some way would basically get special treatment. And one of the special treatment things they would get would be something like, I don't know, like priority tickets to live events or whatever. And they all used to get one CD a week, right? And my job was one CD a month. And my job was that they used to, was to actually go and source the CDs, find out from them what CD they wanted and get it posted out to them. And that was like a big part of my job. Anyway, one of the guys who worked there, one of the big decision makers who shall remain nameless, said, don't buy the CDs for the CD club people. So there'd be about 150 of them, right? Don't buy the CDs for them through the radio station or through the company card. Please buy the CDs from them by walking across Leicester Square into HMV and use my credit card because I want the air miles. Right? So he'd probably end up spending about, I don't know, like 700-800 quid a time on CDs that he wanted his air miles on his credit card. So he would give me his credit card and I would go over there with my shopping list, buy all these CDs with his credit card and bring them back in bags into the office to manually post them out. However, one month it triggered a fraud warning on his card.
Oh, right.
and they said to me, excuse me, Mr. So-and-so, can you please step this way and answer some security questions with the bank? They're on the phone. Mm. And I was like, it's not actually my card. And they were like, okay, wait here a minute. And I basically, to cut a long story short, I had to call him and say, if you don't come over here personally now, they're going to call the police, right?
Yeah.
And he came over. But in the meantime, they just cut his card up with scissors.
Oh, they did not.
Because the
hilarious.
Bank told them to instantly. So,
well, that's another thing, Luke. I know exactly who that person is. And I'll tell you for now, one of the other things I found on one of my CD-ROMs over the weekend was a picture of him topless being carried aloft someone's shoulders covered in Guinness. So there you go.
Was it me carrying him?
You might have been in the picture. Yeah, you may have been.
He's quite a big fella, so it won't have been impossible for me to carry it. But there you go. That's a trip down memory lane. What other work memories do we have? Also, I've been told to tell you that we're all looking for life hacks at the moment, right? Mm. Life hacks. We want to hear your life hacks. Peter, you've got one a few weeks ago involving You had one involving eggs and coffee, which I found absolutely baffling at the time, and I still don't fully understand
now. Put the eggs in the coffee. You don't need any expensive percolators or your French press. Just let the eggs do their work, quite frankly. And I think it not only that, it's quite a nice sort of like idea that like we're not just talking about things to get you through your washing up or things to get you through your house clean. We're talking about like being able to save a bit of cash here and there as well. We're not talking about thievery. We're talking about a meal deal you like. We're talking about what's your favourite order at your high street chemist or coffee shop.
Yeah, email us in hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. And another one for an example would be our friend John Hillcock, Peter. He posted something on Instagram the other day of using, instead of using a filter for his coffee, he was just using simply a piece of kitchen roll.
Good kitchen roll, though. It was like Blitz. A Bounty. You see, it's Blitz, wasn't it? I'm a Blitz,
Blitz
man.
Blitz is the best one.
Love a bit of Blitz. So thick.
You use Blitz.
So luxurious. Yeah, they're bigger than the usual roll, so it's quite hard to sort of get it home from Waitrose on my scooter, because that's my life now. I'm Jamie Oliver. it's a different one. But I think, for example, I thought of one. When you get your hair dye, you get some free gloves with them. So you don't need to buy your plastic gloves that week for your
surely
surgery.
You're using that for the hair dye, otherwise you get hair dye all over
your hands. Wash them off, mate. Wash them off.
I was able to buy 50 pairs of rubber gloves off the internet. I'll answer your next question in a minute. for I think like $2.99. It's astonishingly cheap. And I was buying them because I was going through a phase of making fresh turmeric drinks. And if you want a great turmeric without gloves on, you are a fool.
Right.
You are a fool. It's as simple as that.
What happens? Does it turn red? Do you touch your pee-pee and it burns?
Orange. Your hands look like you've been smoking 100 rollies a day for 20 years.
I thought you were going to fill loads of gloves, plastic latex gloves, with warm water and then put it on your leg and as if a lady's touching your leg.
That's what I would do if I had a lot of them. That's a life hack that I'd like to get involved with. by the way, Peter, how are you approaching the lockdown haircut situation? Because you've got quite the skullet these days and I want to know what you're going to do about it.
Luke, you know exactly what I'm doing because you've clearly caught a little peek. Look at that bad boy. Look at that. Oh no, it's come out. Me ponytail's come out.
You look like an aging samurai.
Yeah, I'll take it. Look, I will absolutely take it. The kanji for samurai, the Japanese writing sort of symbol, you know, like these really complex kind of things, and you need to learn 2000 just to read a bloody newspaper. But the sign for samurai also just means respected job.
Does it really? That's brilliant.
Big, isn't
it? That's a brilliant
respected
translation.
Job.
That's fantastic. And why are you a man who, if you don't mind me reminding everyone, who was 40 next month, walking around with a ponytail in your hair just around your house?
Why am I doing that?
Yeah.
Well, my hair's too long and I can't get a haircut and I'm trying, you know, I'm flirting with growing my hair out and just sort of say, look, I may be 40, but the follicles are still in there, still kicking.
Are you worried that if you were to shave it off completely, it won't grow back?
I think I'll be all right. I'm doing all right for 40. Everything else is hurting and screaming and there's a weird sap oozing out of my orifices. But other than that.
Before we go to a break, I want to let you know about a fireball, basically a meteor that burned up over Cheltenham the last couple of days.
I believe it nearly hit the Always Accent Kelly Wells' house.
Did it really?
Yeah, she's right in the middle of the subset of villages that it nearly hit.
A subset
Have they found
of
any
villages?
Yet? The subset of villages.
Apparently, there are basically some fragments that have broken off, and they are likely to have fallen just north of Cheltenham, out towards a place called Stow-on-the-Wold. But most likely on farmland. So get yourself out there if you're near there and go and have a look.
I just outed Kelly Wells and where she lives. Apologies, Kelly.
and they've said they've said, oh, if you do go out there, just make sure you get a clean bag and some. And apparently the recommended thing to do is get some aluminium foil to wrap them in so you can keep them so they don't get contaminated too much. Because people want to study them. But the reason I bring this to the table is because I had no idea about this. There's an organisation called the UK Fireball Alliance.
Who just go around trying to find fireballs as best they can.
How do I become a member of that?
Well, I mean, what's their job? I mean, presumably they don't get the information at source. I mean, NASA probably go, kick your head down, everyone who lives in Cheltenham. We've got some pernicious projectiles coming in hard.
Yeah, I don't really know where they get their information from, where they get their intel from, how you become a member, whether it's a front for some kind of superhero organisation, and then nothing about it.
I would, if it was my job to come and collect, right, and if I knew people were coming to collect these bits of comets and stuff, I would find one and just cover it in something weird, like fucking strawberry jam or something, and they'd be so confused. They'd be studying it for years. Why is this covered in this sticky kind of strawberry flavored juice? What's going on there?
There's a big debate. I mean, we talked about this maybe a couple of weeks ago, and someone emailed in quite irately about Avi Loeb, who's this Harvard astronomer and astrophysicist, who says that he's trying to essentially lead the charge into getting more funding for the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. And the first ever, interstellar object came into the solar system a few years ago called Oumuamua. And it was long and flat. And it looked like it might have been man-made and people were losing their shit about it. And they were checking it for radio signals and everything, but they didn't find anything. But the point being that... imagine if that did come through the solar system and people found it and it just had, like, mushrooms growing on it or something. That'd be epically good.
Or the word tits written on in a Sharpie. Well, this is just confusing.
Someone just spray-painted on it. Classic. All right, let's have a little break, Peter. When we come back from our break, we will do some of your emails that have been emailed into hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. And we've had some belters, so don't go anywhere.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This week at Sukarnov.
On Clash of the Titles, things got a little awkward when Alex, Vicky and Chris discussed the Incredible Hulk going to the hairdressers.
Have you never had a haircut and gone, that is not what I asked for?
I can't remember what it's like to go to the hairdressers.
Oh God, sorry. That's triggering. Sorry.
That's on me.
Bad move.
Yeah,
bad absolutely. Bit, yeah, that is on you. Yeah.
Absolutely. I forgot.
Because we haven't seen you for such a long time. We forgot you've got no hair.
I'm still bald. So. Yeah, it hasn't grown back magically since we last spoke.
And over on Football Ramble Presents, the On the Continent team have been keeping you across all the European knockouts, as well as a possible title race in Ligue 1 as well.
Icardi can be so frustrating because he can be just one of the most impressive finishers. But you know, when he's not quite on it, he's kind of like the David Blaine of football. Like, he spends a lot of time in a box not doing anything.
Find Clash of the Titles and Football Ramble Presents on your favourite podcast player and listen now.
All that and a whole lot more at Sukarnov.
We've got an email address. It costs a couple of quid a year to keep going, so you'd better use it. It's hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. If you want to get in touch, you can also get in touch via the Instagram and also Twitter as well. There are so many great avenues, both free at source for us and not so free at source, that I recommend you use. I don't want to get you too far through the curtain about how much our administrative overheads are.
No, tell them.
It's a couple of quid a year to run a mailbox, guys. So use it, guys. Use it and cherish us.
Yes. And the great thing is we bear all that fee, 100% of the fee ourselves. So the cost to you guys remains absolutely zero.
Exactly.
So fill your boots. Enjoy it. Just the time taken to write the email. That's all it costs.
When I was saying the word overhead, it reminded me of, do you remember the Flight of the Conchords TV show, the first series set in New York, and one of the songs he's sort of talking about kids in, you know, in the Far East making trainers, sneakers for pennies. But why aren't the trainers very cheap? What are your overheads? It really made me laugh. What are your overheads? Why are they still so expensive?
It's like in Extras when they make a little Ray doll of Ricky Gervais's, Andy Millman's character, in the sitcom, within the sitcom, when the whistle blows and Ricky Gervais's character doesn't want them to make it because they're being made in sweatshops in China. and his agent goes, well, the thing is, they're being made by children. It's their perfect audience. They're probably having a way of a time mucking around with these little dolls. And then Barry from EastEnders just goes, well, I hope it doesn't distract them from their work because they'll probably get a beating.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, emails. hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. As Pete and I have already said, I want to clear up, Peter, if it's all the same to you, I want to clear up some good road names, some place names,
nice.
Some road names. The
Lovely.
UK is very good for it. We should definitely share the wealth. So Simon, by the way, Simon, whose name himself is Simon Oak, which is a fantastic name.
Strong name.
He says, after the subject of close by oddly named streets to where we live came up on a podcast, I thought I'd email you about some of the roads near my house. Within a 2-mile radius of the village of South Anston near Sheffield are the delightfully named Pocket Handkerchief Lane, Penny Peace Lane and Worry Goose Lane.
Oh, that sounds a little bit like a place where you'd get your pocket watch stolen. Just sounds like people sneaking around, checking out your pocket.
I'd be very upset if I didn't see a worried goose down Worry Goose Lane. Simon, thank you for sending that in. He says, keep up the good work. As a listener from day one, it seems your unique blend of shit and shenanigans is right up my street. Who provides the shit, Pete, and who provides the shenanigans, do you think?
Your shit, I'm Shinola. Got to know the difference. Got to know the difference.
It's important. Ian's also been in touch, so I just want to let you know that I live less than 4 miles from Dick Place in Edinburgh. My parents live less than half a mile away from it. And Dick Place also happens to lead on to Cumin Place, which I guess if you read it a certain way, it could be Cumin Place, which always used to amuse me walking home from school. Thanks for that, Ian.
Thanks, Ian. Hello to, who have we got here? Ali Darlow, lovely old job. Hello. So glad you enjoyed digging deeper into my email last week about the chimpanzee war. Never have I seen something before that just screams Luke and Pete like that story. However, I'm emailing for a different reason this week. I'm going through your back catalogue, and on the 1st of June 2020, in your episode Leave Your Facts at the Door, you talked about a story of two French boys finding some gold bars in their nan's house that had been there since the 1960s. The dream, Luke Moore, the dream, find a big chunk of gold. Talking about the value of these gold bars, Luke made the throwaway comment saying to spend all the money on Skittles. Now, this annoyed me because for a couple of days I kept wondering just how many Skittles those two bars could buy you, so I worked it out. Good work, Ali Darla. I've been wanting to read this for a couple of weeks, but I haven't got around to it. But according to the story, each gold bar was worth 52,000 euros, which could be converted into 89, cracking on for 90 grand in UK money. If you're buying Skittles from Sainsbury's, 190 grams back for £1, and obviously you can buy near enough 90,000 bags, which means you would have 17,611,776 grams worth of Skittles, 17 and a half tons worth of Skittles. And the closest accurate measurements I could find online for the weight of an individual Skittle was just over a gram each. But Ali does give us the full number. This means that for that amount of Skittles, it's going to be made up of 16 and a half plus a load million individual Skittles. Not sure to do with that information, but it's put my mind at ease. So imagine in your home, in your loft. Do you have a loft in your home, Luke?
I do, a very sizable one, actually.
Lovely. So you probably could fit 16 and a half million Skittles up there.
I like the idea that a gold bar is worth 16 and a half million Skittles.
Mm,
I mean, what Ali could have done is just emailed that, couldn't he?
Yeah. We could have probably could have just surmised the rest. You didn't have to go farther than that, Ali, but thank you very much. Do you know how they polish? I presume it's the same as Skittles. Have you seen how they polish Smarties?
No. Come on, tell me about this. How's this never come up before?
I am reliably informed that to polish a Smartie at scale... you put them in a big skip and you just give them a little jiggle and they rub off each other and they become shiny. That's not bad, is it?
I think Petey, and it makes perfect sense because when you and I rub off each other, we do have a very lovely shine afterwards, don't we?
We do. It's merely sweat and lube, but either way, it's a sight to behold.
It's shiny from a distance.
The world looks blue and green and the snow-capped mountains white.
That's what we do up in the attic. Pete and I rub off against each other to shine ourselves up in my attic, and then we tuck into as many Skittles as we can with our tops off.
Careful you don't fall into the cavity wall. We haven't got insurance. Right.
What I would Pete, can I just further encourage this behaviour from Ali? Mm. Ali, if you're listening, which I'm sure you are, what I want you to do for the next phase of your Skittles project, and it is a project, is to roughly work out of that 16 and a half million and change, as our American cousins say, Skittles, how many of them are each respective colour? Is it a perfectly equal split between all different colours? How many of each colour are we seeing? Is one colour more prevalent than the other? Because red is a more popular colour than, say, yellow. We need answers to this. And if anyone else listening wants to weigh in and bring yet more information to the Skittles project, please do so. Please get in touch with any other information about the shining of other confectionery. Perhaps your parents take a lot of Valium. I don't know. Get involved.
How do they like Skittles,
don't they?
I guess they do, yeah.
The chat about the use of Valium in the United States in the 50s and 60s is absolutely mind-blowing.
Oh, it sounds
brilliant. Mind-blowing.
There's a man who, on more than one occasion, has popped a couple for a long flight. It just sounds like a lovely way to live.
Yeah.
Take drugs, kids.
You're surrounded with a lovely warm blanket of existential bliss until the plane lands and you realise you've got to drive home. and you've wet yourself. Yeah,
I would also like, finally for now, Ali Dalla, I'd quite like Ali to figure out and let me know precisely how many of those 16 and a half million Skittles I could eat before I died.
I think you'd probably
turn I am 12 stone.
You might turn a certain colour first.
Maybe I'll turn all the colours of the rainbow. My tongue would certainly do that.
So the other thing about that type of stuff is that I believe there's a load of food dyes and colorants and different bits and pieces that are absent from British confectionery, but they are they exist in American confectionery because the laws are different, right?
Yeah.
So if you eat like Cheetos in the US, you get your hands to get all orange, like turmeric, because they use a particular coloring that's banned in the UK.
Yeah.
So I wonder whether Ali, when you're working this out, whether you need to take into account American ingredients, British ingredients, because M&M's are completely different in the US. They taste completely different. So the recipe is obviously different. These are all things you're going to have to work out before you even move on to the next line of confectionery. Get the Skittles right first. I think, Pete, you could probably eat... How many do you reckon you get in a bag? I reckon you could eat 500 Skittles.
Yeah, okay.
If you
I reckon I could probably. Yeah, I reckon I'd probably do more. I reckon I'd do 1,000. I mean, I would die. I reckon I could get 1,000 down me before
things started to go bad. My
brother-in-law ate
58 chicken nuggets.
That is an astonishing amount.
And my mate Phil ate 7 of the 10 targeted filet fishes before he was sick. So all these things are, you know, you can reach for the moon here. A lot of these things are possible. I wonder
as long
how
you got
many...
a drink.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I wonder how many calories you can eat. How many calories an average human being can eat before they die?
Right. Okay. But I mean, most like proper like swimmers and rowers and stuff, they take on an astonishing amount of calorific content, don't they?
Yeah, they're burning it off. It's difficult for a lot of some top athletes. It's difficult for them to get enough calories that they need, I think. But that's why they use gels and all that kind of stuff. But listen, I'm off for a calorie-rich gel myself, so we're going to wrap up here. We'll be back on Thursday for more of this nonsense. Hopefully we'd have heard from Ali by then, but if not, send us your emails in yourself. hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. Perhaps they'll be confectionery-themed. Perhaps they won't. Either way, they'll all be welcome. And we will read every single one of them. And don't forget, more importantly, it's absolutely free to send an email. There's no cost to you, the emailer, at all. Pete and I will bear the brunt of that cost ourselves. That's a Luke and Pete show guarantee for as long as the show exists, Pete. Can you back me up on that?
Yeah, we'll see how we go. We'll see how... Once you start getting out in office, you'll know what's happened.
Exactly. Sorry, mate. Never rule out a revenue stream. That's business number 101, isn't it? Sorry. We'll see you next time.
All right, then. Bye.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.